It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, if you've been studying with us about the millennium, the eighth dispensation, you know that we left off last time and I asked the question, well, why the millennium? Now, I've spoken of this before. I've mentioned some things, but I also said the last time that it was to fulfill old promises to Israel. God promised them certain things that would take place. And it was also to give Israel a new heart. Ezekiel 36 and verses 26 and 27 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So God would give them a new heart, and he would also give them a new spirit. Ezekiel 37, verse 14, and I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Well, God is going to put within them the Spirit. And as I've mentioned before, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior now, we do have the Spirit living within us. The Bible says that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Well, if you've been saved, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you are one of His, and you do have His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, living within you. And the millennium is also to prove that Israel, an unfaithful wife, is restored to her husband. And we read about this in several places, but in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 6, 19 and verse 6 says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And then Revelation 19 and verse 7 says this, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, that's the Lord, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And it goes on to say, his wife hath made herself ready. Well, the word and, it says, and his wife hath made herself ready. The word and is a conjunction. And it's used to indicate an additional thing or something else that's added to this, a situation or a fact. If the marriage of the Lamb is about to happen in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 7, then the wife spoken of in verse 7, C7C, that's the third part of verse 7, it could not be speaking of the church. The church was not yet married to Christ, according to verse 7 and the second part of that verse. It says the marriage of the Lamb is come or is about to take place. Well, if the church is not yet married to Christ, in verse 7, we've read that, then the wife spoken of in Revelation chapter 19 and the rest of that verse, it could not be the church. Well, who is the wife mentioned in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, that is the last part of that verse. Who is the wife spoken of there if it's not the church? Well, I believe the wife spoken of in Revelation chapter 7 and the third part of that verse, verse 7, is none other than Israel. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 1 says, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. And Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8 adds this. It says, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away. In other words, divorced and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Notice the word backsliding here. This is transgression in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 1. Transgression, backsliding. And we read further in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, "And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Baali." Well, Ishai means husband. In that day, in the millennium, Israel will never again turn away from the true God. They will call God the Father husband. And Baali means Lord, but in the sense of idol worship. You remember, Baal was the name of the god of the Phoenicians, introduced into Israel by Queen Jezebel. Well, let me say once again, let's read that verse again, Hosea chapter 2 and verse 16. "And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou," that's he's speaking to Israel, "that thou shalt call me Ishai, husband, and shalt call me no more Baali." In other words, they will not worship false gods anymore. They will not worship false idols. They will not do that because God is their husband. Notice Hosea chapter 2 and verse 1, "For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." That's speaking of Israel. Now, how can we say this restoration of the wife takes place at the millennium? Well, once again, in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "And in that day," and that's the millennium again, "will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely." Well, when Israel is restored, God will also restore the primeval relationships among the animals. And you can compare Isaiah chapter 11 and chapter 65. And he's going to take this away from the animals, the primeval relationship. And at the same time, remember, the ox is going to eat grass with the lion and so forth. And there's not going to be any more killing of animals. The animals will not kill each other or human beings. It's going to change during the millennium. That's what that verse is speaking of here in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 18. And at the same time, world peace will be enforced by the Prince of Peace, according to the book of Isaiah. So when you study this and you take it all together, we know that by studying this, I believe that the wife spoken of in the verse that we looked at in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7, the wife spoken of there is Israel, and the husband is God the Father. Some people forget that God says he was married to this Israel, and they committed adultery. But God says, "I'm going to take them back." Now, once again, Hosea chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "And I will betroth thee unto me forever." You see, God cannot lie. God always tells the truth. There is no sin about God. He would never say something that was wrong. And he made this promise to Israel, "I will betroth thee unto me," for how long? "Forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercies." Henry Morse writes this. He says, "Israel will indeed be restored as the wife of Jehovah. This promise is eternal, not conditional, though its implication must await the national repentance and acceptance of Messiah when he returns after his long absence and Israel's long affliction." Well, remember, Jesus Christ is coming back just before the millennium begins, and he will touch down on the Mount of Olives. And at that time, when he comes back, the nation Israel will recognize him as the one they crucified. And as they do this, they'll understand that he is the Messiah, that he is the King, that he is Lord, and they will be restored as the wife of God. They will recognize Christ, and at that time, they will also be restored as the wife of God. Well, what was used by God to bring Israel to their senses during this time? Well, the tribulation was used by God to bring Israel back to Him. Now, we've studied that, and that is the seventh dispensation. Well, how do we know Israel was separated from God? In other words, what happened there? Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 1. In describing God's relationship to the nation of Israel, he says in Isaiah 50 and verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away?" In other words, divorced. "Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away." Divorced, in other words. God was saying, prove that I put you away, divorced you. In other words, I didn't put you away. He says, prove that I put you away by producing a bill of divorcement. He had not divorced them. They had divorced him. God says there's coming a time when he's going to take them back as his wife. And you study the Old Testament and you see that Israel is referred to as the wife of God, Jehovah, the Lord. Now, just before we close this study, let me say this. The millennium is also to fulfill New Testament prophecies and in answer to a prayer. And you probably prayed this prayer when you were in school, possibly. I don't know. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. But we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 30 through 33, and it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Well, the kingdom has been promised, and it will come to pass. Notice that Christ said to pray for the kingdom to come. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 2, it says, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." And then once again in Matthew 6 and verse 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And there's coming a time when things will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Everything's going to be put in order. And the beginning of that is the millennium. And it's going to start there. And he says, "Thy kingdom come." We're to pray for the kingdom to come. Now, we're not going to hurry God along. God is never taken by surprise. I've said that so many times. And God is going to do things the way he wants done, not the way we really want it done. He's going to be the one who's all righteous. He's the one that takes care of things righteously. So when he says his kingdom is coming, when Christ is going to be seated on the throne, then it's going to happen. We are to pray, "Thy kingdom come." In other words, we're honoring what God has said for us to do. We're to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And it will be one day. Everything's going to change. And you and I who are saved, we're coming back with him, and we're going to be with him during the millennium. And throughout all eternity, we're going to be with him. You need to be excited if you've trusted Christ. And if you have not, you can get excited by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.